Hello, you're watching Proactive London. I'm joined by Dominic Scriven. He's the founder and executive chairman of Dragon Capital Group. Dominic, good to have you with us today.
Hello there. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Dominic, perhaps to get started, can you give us a bit of background to Dragon Capital?
Well, we're an investment firm, 27 years old, pretty much only active in Vietnam, and I've always been only active in Vietnam and based there. So we have roughly 160 people in Ho Chi Minh City and Hanoi. We have small offices in Bangkok and Hong Kong and the UK in Bath. But really, what Dragon Capital is about is the growth of Vietnam's capital markets, most particularly its equity markets, although also its debt markets, to reflect interest in the country and the need for funding. And historically, that's been mostly through the role of foreign investors, but increasingly it's reflecting domestic Vietnamese investors as well, which is a story once seen in many, many countries, of course.
Of course, if you've been there for 27 years, you've been there for the entire ride or the total emergence of Vietnam, haven't you?
Yes. I mean, it's long back in the history now, but it's a nice strap line to say that the company was established before the stock markets of the country. And so, yes, we've seen, you know, day one of Dragon Capital, there was no shares, no companies to invest in. It was very, very difficult. There was day two, which was 2000, when the markets opened. There were two listed companies. Buzz on to today, there's 1,500 companies. And so it's been a very interesting time. Ups and downs, of course, but it's been interesting.
What sort of assets under management do you have and how have they been growing over this journey?
Well, our longest established, we invest about $5.5 billion into Vietnam's market. So, you know, the equity market is 250 billion. So that makes us quite small internationally and quite small really in compared with Vietnam, but there are very few institutions here. And so I think we are the largest investor in equities after the Vietnamese government. So that gives us a sort of profile as a bit of an institution. And the core of our investment strategies is a London listed investment trust. It's not quite a trust, but investment company called Vail, V-E-I-L. It's been listed in the LSE since 2016. It's a member of the FTSE 250. It's got a track record of 25 years. And if you put a dollar in, not when we started because there wasn't any stock market, but if you take from the time when the stock market started in 2000 until today, the returns from that, which is answering your question, have been just under 13% compounded in US dollars and net of fees. So what does that tell us? That tells us that, it tells us $1 goes close to 10 over 20 years. So that's not, that's not amongst the most aggressive returns in the world. And some of the clever hedge funds have obviously done a lot better than that. But what it shows is over the long term, investment in Vietnam has been possible at levels around or slightly more than nominal GDP growth. So Vietnam has GDP of 6 or 7% a year, and inflation of 3-4% a year, sometimes higher. But over the long period of time, the returns to investors in dollar terms have been slightly in excess of that. Yeah.
Who are you attracting with funds like the Vail Fund? Are we looking at pension funds and sovereign wealth funds and the likes?
Well, initially it was an odd collection back in the 90s of a handful of pioneering institutions. Some of them, you know, household names: Schroders, HSBC, Fidelity, people like that, Barings, and a bunch of motivated and supportive individuals. Flip forward, though, now Vail is very widely owned by a great bench set of investors. So I think there are more than 120 institutional holders with over $1 million holding in Vail. And who are they? They're family offices. They are wealth managers. They are insurance companies and pensions, and also institutions that invest in Asia but can't invest in Vietnam directly, or don't have the time to cover it. And then, of course, because it's London listed, we've got a range of individual investors, and that's the slant for the future, is to open the franchise to bring more information about Vail to individual investors. Yes.
Apart from listed equity, what else are you finding attractive in Vietnam at the moment? Fixed income, real estate, any of those?
We've not been successful in real estate. I can say that. Real estate in many places, but certainly in developing economies, is prone to risks. Lack of transparency, lumpiness, regulatory, there's all sorts of issues. So we steer clear of that. And in fact, we steer pretty clear of most private investments. So our philosophy is the public markets. So that is 90% or more in the case of Dragon equity markets. But we are now putting a lot of resources into fixed income markets as well, corporate bonds, government bonds. We believe that the markets, in most places, but certainly in developing countries, are where you get the best combination of liquidity, transparency, and governance protections. And these are all obviously very important, increasingly important. So we're anchored into the markets.
I mean, just taking a look again at the growth rates that you have been seeing in Vietnam, would it be considered one of the Asian tigers? I know it wasn't previously, but it has been mooted as a potential Asian tiger.
Yes, Vietnam came late to the party. You're correct there, Stephen. But so the history of investment in Asia starts with, Japan, and then a waterfall effect to what was called the newly industrialized economies: Korea, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Singapore, and then to the newly industrialized countries, which included Thailand and Malaysia and the Philippines and Indonesia. And then there was a thought that there was a further waterfall to Vietnam, to Myanmar, to Bangladesh, places like that. What's happened is that indeed what has happened. But I think I'm not talking my own book too much when I say that Vietnam sort of picked up its pace. There's a great deal of ambition here to close the blue water between some of the other Asian economies. So Vietnam's ambitions, it pitches itself against the top four economies in ASEAN. So that's the sort of benchmark with the younger tiger in Asia, I would say, yes.
Tiger Cub, perhaps, at this stage.
Tiger Cub.
I mean, Dominic, going forward, is your focus going to remain solely or mostly on Vietnam?
Yes. We like most people, you go through periods of great difficulty and you think you need to diversify. So we've invested in Cambodia and Laos and Myanmar, and Thailand, and we're looking at Bangladesh at the moment. But if I think of what is our core competence, what do we understand, where have we got something to offer, it's really Vietnam. And Vietnam, of course, is 100 million people nearly, and an economy of $350 billion, and it's growing quite well. The demographics, all those factors that I'm sure many of your viewers might have come across, they really support us remaining focused, and if you like, trying to become deeper and broader in the place we know best as home.
Okay, so it's going to be more of the same going forward, and just growth within that the Vietnamese economy.
Yes, it's never terribly easy, but it is always enormously interesting. So I think, you know, when we consider that Vietnam isn't yet a classic emerging market per se, in the indices, the stock market indices, you know, even though we've been around 25 years, there's a lot more to play ahead of us. We launched just as an example of that, just 2 months ago, we launched Vietnam's first ever private pension scheme. So, you know, the degree of institutionalization is only just beginning. And it's a very exciting time. You can benchmark, you know, what's going to happen here from looking at places like Taiwan and Korea and Thailand and India even in the past. So we can see there's lots of challenges ahead, but lots of interest as well.
And obviously lots of scope for your own growth within that.
Yes, we don't aspire to be the biggest or anything like that. Although we'd like to be in the top sort of handful of institutions. And I think the reason for that is because of the way we invest. So because of the size we have at the moment and because we've been here a long time, you know, basically any company that wishes to raise capital will want to give us a call. And that gives us a particular ability to dialogue with companies, to talk about not just pricing, but terms and conditions. So for example, a big thing that we're all talking about today is ESG. I'll take off the G and the S for a moment and talk just about climate change, for example, something quite big in the UK right now with COP26 coming up. So our ability to engage with companies to ensure that climate change is put on the agenda of Vietnamese companies that, you know, in many cases haven't had time to learn about this. They've been putting roofs on their, you know, roofs on their over their heads, and to actually begin to encourage the agenda. I think that's the profile that we'd like to continue having. Yes.
And does that make your investors comfortable?
Well, we have to ask them, won't we? But we have on Vail. Just take. I mean, we have a UCITS fund as well, which is you know, obviously more daily liquidity. But the London listed company, we have continuation votes every 5 years. So every 5 years, shareholders get the right to, you know, to close down the company or not. I'm happy to say, and I'm touching wood, that we've gone 25 years through these continuation votes with what I would call as a, you know, relatively encouraging degree of support. But you're only as good as your last continuation vote, so we need to keep on our toes.
Well, let's hope it continues. Dominic, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you.
That's Dominic Scriven. He's the founder and executive chairman of Dragon Capital Group.